The founders forgot that we had medical liberty.
We seem to be losing by taking the side of the middle. And we seem to constantly be losing.
I think Trump has made some kind of arrangements with Russia.
This person has made the allegations that they were a man.
If there's content that's borderline, that's content that we basically will not.
There is no second best. There's no second best crypto asset.
Let's talk about science.
I respect you and I have a great deal of appreciation to you, JF, because in a time when everybody was attacking me, when Sargon doxed me and smeared me, you were the only one who gave me a platform, and you were very kind in helping me put the truth out there.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. How are you doing, people of the regular chat? There is kind of an awakening around the black killing of white people in America. I think we have to be a little black-pilled on the outcome of this awakening, because I'm afraid it's one of those awakenings where there will be nothing that comes out of it. Because it's one thing for white people to notice, hey, I'm starting to notice a whole lot of black people knifing white people randomly, and then saying, hey, I got this white person, I just got them. It's another thing to actually take action to revert this situation. And the action, I'm afraid, may not be coming. It may not be coming simply because people don't realize the extent to which to maintain white behavior in society, the extent to which we would have to imprison, we would have to have methods to push back on the waves of black criminality, and I don't think we have enough. I don't think we do enough. And so I'm afraid that it's a white pill that comes with a black pill. Darko Malfoy has sent a super chat on entropy. He says, JF, what is safer, a war zone of white people or a subway carriage with a single black man? Very interesting super chat indeed. Yes, I agree that this is the right question to ask in this circumstance. We had this this murder of a white woman. Now, she turned out she was coming from Ukraine, probably seeking protection from the war. But the reality is, I would feel safer under an area of bombardment, bombarded by Vladimir Putin, than I would turning my back in the bus to a stranger black person. I mean, it is something that is very hard for people to conceive of. But you may be safer. You may be safer in downtown Kiev than you are in a bus in North Carolina. And as long as people don't understand this very, very difficult thing to put in your brain, as long as people don't understand this, we may not be on the path to improvement. But yeah, you know, Vladimir Putin and the way he bombards Ukraine is extremely careful. I haven't seen much scenes of civilians just finding themselves all bloodied and their children killed. No, it's a very clean war. It's a clean war targeting areas that are clearly military. When they target commercial centers, it's because the commercial centers has been used as a military base by some Ukrainian tanks. And so I would say, Darko Malfoy, you are absolutely correct. You may be safer even in an area known to be aimed at by Russia. You may be safer there if you're not a military person than a civilian in the bus. Marby Dog says, great on the backlash today. Absolutely, I really liked my passage on the backlash. It's fun to have these right-wing, identity-minded people that are religious, but they are open to hearing from the biological JF perspective. It was great. It was really great. Blonde is fun because she has these hesitations inside of her where she wants to listen to the biological view. She wants to hear it, but at the same time, she wants to fight against it. Meet Vic says, saw your interview on the Backlash. JF, your dark humor is remarkable. Yeah, it was fun. It was fun to throw stuff at them that clearly Blonde is, well, Rebecca, I think that's her name. Rebecca is fighting against. She doesn't want to hear it. She doesn't want it to be true. But at the same time, she knows it's true. Blimpy Supervisor says, Backlash chat was full of idiots saying JF killed Mama JF. Yeah, I mean, you can't help this. Whenever you go back to a YouTube show, you know, you don't get that much of it on Rumble. But whenever you go back to a normie-filled YouTube, you see that YouTube is not doing good. They're not doing good there because they have kept the most retarded people, basically. And when you keep the most retarded people, when you do an act of self-selection toward the dumb, you end up with people believing parallel things. And they, you know, 90% of the chat believe that I killed Mama JF. It's like, at this point, after years, you haven't still digested this. You haven't had the time to think it through, that even your communist liberal police of Canada isn't able to arrest me. That doesn't ring a bell that maybe I'm innocent. No, it doesn't ring a bell in the dumb subselection of people who have seen YouTube censorship and yet who have decided they wanted to stay there. So, I mean, it's not a comment here on Dave or Rebecca. They're newly on YouTube, by the way. But what they will discover is people on the YouTube chats are retarded. They are literally retarded. That's why they stayed there. Blimpy Supervisor says, I was called an agent 8,200 of the Liquid Party by an anon. Meanwhile, my YouTube chat account has a photo of me and my full name. Lol. Okay, Tryhard says, Rumble needs to look and work like YouTube to grow without the censorship, of course. I think Rumble has been delivering. I'm very satisfied personally by Rumble. Of course, the feel could be perhaps a little improved, but I think they're there. They're pretty much there. Ukrainian refugee brutally murdered on train in North Carolina. So many people are talking about this. Another case of a black criminal. Clearly, you know, through his criminal history, signaling to society that he was going to increase the violence until he would be put in jail forever. At some point, and people are describing in his history a female black judge freeing him. At some point, you have to understand that there are people for whom life is hard. Life is too hard on the outside, and they basically want to be handled, to be taken care of. They don't have a solution to how do I feed myself on the everyday. And these people will commit crimes until they can go back in. And when you are showing mercy at the sentence part, when you say, oh, well, you know, he used a gun, but he didn't quite kill someone, so let's release this guy. What you're doing is you are signaling to him, the only way I will give you free food for the rest of your life is if you truly kill someone. So what do they do? They go out there and they kill someone. That is the story of so many of these criminals that get 40, 50 arrests. And at first it's little theft, and then it's vandalism, and then it's something, being rude to a policeman or resisting arrest. And then it's theft with aggravated assault. And then it's, well, they use the gun as part of the theft. To be a judge and to show mercy and to, let's show some understanding here. He wasn't given a chance. The problem is you're not either giving him a chance. You are sending him back to the world in which he can't succeed. You're sending him back to the world in which his problem is that he's never going to solve the problem of how do I feed myself in a free economy. And the answer that becomes very clear in these criminals' mind is, well, how do I feed myself? I need to kill someone. If I kill someone, they will put me in for enough years that I don't have to care anymore about feeding myself. If we had judges that understood this and that at the first act of theft or the first act of some theft with a gun or something, you put them in jail for 20, 30 years, you give them what they want, you protect the rest of society, they get food forever, everyone is happy. But no, we have judges that are trying to push them to the limit. They're like, oh, what if we give him a chance? Well, it's a chance that he will waste. And now we find ourselves with a person murdered because you wanted to give him a chance. Kalp Capo says, JF, how are you? I want to ask you, what is your view about Western civilization for the next 50 years from now? Well, we are losing control of our institutions. Arguably, we already have. The waves of migration will continue to reinforce minority populations that will take control of the world around us. I see racial segregation emerging and racial concentration. There will be places completely controlled by Indians, completely controlled by Blacks, completely controlled by Hispanics. And so what I recommend for the next 50 years is reconcentration of white people in states that we control, and try to use democracy and laws and state sovereignty to try to push out the ongoing invasion. That is my view of civilization. John Drake says, can you imagine trying to navigate a technological-driven world with a 75 IQ and a violent nature? That's what this is. Absolutely. Blimpy Supervisor says, each crime is him saying, lock me up. And it gets louder. Lock me up. And we're not listening. Absolutely. We used to have a very, very simple solution to this in society, which is we had judges that were hard on crime. It's like, no, you try to steal a grocery store with a gun, you could have killed someone. I'm not going to let you try again until you kill someone. I'm going to put you in jail for as long as I can, while considering that you may very well have killed someone and that if you try to do it again, you will kill someone. So there used to be this. Now we replaced our judges with these, just these ugly, fat Black woman judges that are like, oh, poor little boy. Poor little boy. You could be my son. I see a lot of my son in you. If someone could give you just a chance, I'm gonna give you that chance. It's like, you don't even know the criminal history of the guy. You've probably not been told this criminal history because it can't be part of the trial. So you are giving a chance to someone you don't even know how many chances they had before. Sunk to the Nuts says, apparently people are accusing her of having a BLM poster in her room, but it may be a friend's bedroom after all. Oh yeah, there was a picture people sent me about the girl who got knifed with a BLM poster. It's super hard to see and it's hard to know where this photo comes from. So I don't have a strong position. Really, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether she was BLM liking or not, the fact is she paid the price of being a female in the city and being careless about her surrounding. You know, some tactical preparation. You look at the video, it should be relatively straightforward to say, I'm not going to sit in that very seat, which is the most exposed, where I cannot see the angle coming from the black guy in the back. There's many other seats where she could have seated, where this wouldn't have been a worry, where she would have seen him coming. Now, would she have been able to defend? Well, people are asking me that. Well, depends, you know, a crazy black guy like this may have only one good hit that they can give. And if you show some resistance, sometimes they're not even going to continue. Yes, certainly do not give them the first free hit. You know, be positioned so that you can see them approach. Blimpy Supervisor says, the ironic point is that supporting Ukraine and the global homo spreading there results in women there supporting BLM. Absolutely, this is part of the westernization. I'm impressed at how the Ukraine war was paired with all this LGBT stuff, where the Ukraine PR person was an LGBT trans. It's really bizarre. But that's how they recruit liberals into warmongering. They think, what about if we expand? Like, Vladimir Putin doesn't respect LGBT, so if we do war against Vladimir Putin, then we protect some territory where we can have trans and gays. Isn't that awesome? That's the selling point of the warmongers on the left, and it's so weak. Darko Malfoy says, Rumble is shit. I've been out for 10 minutes. I've been frozen out for 10 minutes. Well, welcome back, Darko Malfoy. I read your super chat. I answered it. If you had a problem watching it live, you can always rewind after the end of the show. You'll be able to rewind and see the whole show and my response to you. But you got to get the correct material. Do you have a computer? Is it updated? Do you run Google Chrome? Check for the basics, you know. Galp Capo Malgus says, JF, thank you for the response. Another question, how they came to the assumption that race is a social construct? It had been popping up for up to 7-8 years. Well, we'll get to this because this is the subject of today. I'm just going to finish my quick review of the Ukrainian killing. Shoe on Head says, if I'm ever brutally murdered on the subway, make sure everyone knows it was a rare occurrence and just part of living in a city, okay? Remember to bring up car accident statistics, too. always sarcasm. It's fun. But I wish Shu Oned would take a stronger stance, because it's always easy to approach the subject of race with sarcasm. But she's right. This is what the liberals do. They, there's so much more other ways to die. Okay, but can we talk about the one that seems very resolvable? If we were to put people in jail on the first or second or third crime they commit, we would to lock them away forever. That would have been an avoidable death. Now, maybe there's a certain number of deaths by car accidents, plane accidents, dryer, washing machine accidents. Those deaths, we're going to deal with them when we have solutions to avoid them. But for now, there's a very easy solution in leftist towns to reduce murders. And it is to put people in jail once they have signaled very clearly that they were not going to respect the rules of society. Franklin Greenson says, hey, JF, is there any truth to the allegation that Kamala Harris advanced through California politics because she was in a relationship with Willie Brown? I heard this allegation. No doubt when you are paired with some Zionist force in politics, it signals a lot. It signals a lot to Jewish donors. But I haven't looked into the detail of this guy and to what extent it helps. I'm sure it does. Fascinating how divorce rates plummeted after 50-50 shared custody was set as the standard in Kentucky. Divorce plunged in Kentucky. Equal custody for fathers is a big reason why. A law setting 50-50 shared custody as the state standard was hailed as a victory for fathers, but critics say it puts mothers and children at risk. Oh, man, this is so... It's spectacular, putting mothers at risk. Because, of course, the family courts exist because mothers want to control the entirety of their children's future. And they're not even doing a good decision in doing so, because the fact is that they are provably bad at it. Females are provably bad at being single mothers. They need the guidance of a man because their excesses are extremely dangerous. The female excess on depending on the city and depending on the state must be curtailed by a male. No matter how base the female is, she's going to fall for it. She's going to want all of those services of the state, and they're going to be bad. And she's going to want all of the vaccines, and they're going to be bad. And she's going to want to be in a racially diverse neighborhood, and it's going to end up killing her teenage son. So females need male decision-making as a crutch, and family courts are the political expression of their lack of desire of using that crutch, their complete rejection, and their desire for 100% control. Now, across the country, they will tell you that family courts are fair. Everyone is treated equal in family courts, but we can consider the fact that you're a male as part of the age of the child and the interest of, so they first state equality in appearance, and then they find all these reasons why in this case equality will not be respected. And one of their favorite ways is, oh, false allegations. Well, we treat you equally as a male, but your ex is making allegations about you that seem very grave. So I think we need to go much further than Kentucky. It's not enough to just say equal custody. We need to punish females for making these false allegations. We need to punish them with less custody when they cause the divorce, because they create a zero-sum game around the time that you can spend with a child. Two parents in a home, they can both spend 100% of the time with the child. It's like the child has been multiplied by two all of a sudden. Because you can have 200% total time divided between the two parents, which gives 100% to each. Now, divorce, and now suddenly the child can only be at one place at a time. So he's either with the father or with the mother. So the mother is creating a zero-sum game when she divorces. A zero-sum game in which only 50% can be your best hope in a fair situation. That should be punished. And we should have a system that says, if you have caused the divorce by filing the papers or by leaving the home, you will have less than 50% custody. And then see how many of them still do it. Darko Malfoy says, I will ask JF a detailed question about the nature of feminism in America, but maybe another day. All right, well, Darko Malfoy, feel free to ask another day, or you can send a super chat or ask tonight. I'm here. Flanking Greenson says, JF, were Kamala Harris and Willie Brown... Okay, I'm going to delete this guy forever. He is trying to trap me into reading a question. You are banned. Fox News says that Irina Zarutska is all about race. This is fascinating because it's such a victory for racial consciousness. We had to fight so hard for this to happen. But at this point, Fox News is speaking like I would have been speaking in 2016. Look at this. Look at the victory here. They're trying. You have a Will Cain here who's trying to drift on racial identitarian talking points and anti-media talking points.
Now, why would that be? Why would one story demand 100 articles and another story zero articles? And it's because the media is more interested in the all capitals story, the narrative, than the facts or the truth. Take a look at the difference here. I want to show you the actual truth. When it comes to crime, the story is about race. Race. Take a look at the black-on-white crimes, 385,000 in 2023. The white-on-black crimes, just under 118,000. You see the comparative numerical difference. But now, here's what the media actually does. They did what our camera operator just began to do a moment ago. I'm going to step out of the way. I'm going to show you literally what the media does with a camera. They zoom in on this number. This number.
He's doing the meme. Those were memes that we were pushing where we were showing a camera and they were zooming on the race statistics of the black against white crime. He's redoing the meme in reality.
Devoid of context. Now, why would that be? Why?
And so we won. We won. But I don't know that these people can fix the situation for white people. Because, okay, you're going to yap. You're going to surf on outrage and clickbait. But what is your solution here? Today I was on the Backlash. Arval was there. I was super happy to see my friend Arval. He's doing great. And Arval has a solution. Arval says this is how we can build associations where white people live among themselves. This guy has no solution. This guy is going to yap and yap until whites are completely genocided. And along the way, there is nothing that he can do. If you're not going to stand for A, more crime pursuits, because look at the unknowns. I'm pretty sure that these unknowns involve a lot of racial reality too. So it is a problem if we don't know who commit crimes. Because you can have race statistics that may not reveal the full extent to which white people are being basically hunted by black people in America. Just because maybe in the black areas you have less police forces, less competent, more corrupt, a justice system that is less willing to pursue them, that is trying to empty the black population from its prisons. And now you end up having the unknown on white and unknown on black crime, potentially containing a black bias to them. It's all a big problem. And I don't know that Fox News, this guy, or all of these center-right people that you see, everyone is talking about race in the last few weeks. Everyone. I don't know that they have a solution. Are you going to change migration? Are you going to change policies around abortion? Are you going to change policies around neighborhoods and freedom of association? Are you going to change forced integration? If you don't change any of this, the situation keeps going. I don't see them calling for solutions. I see them just, oh, I have found the problem. Well, we had found the problem 10 years before you. Paul America says, is JF mainly on Odyssey or Rumble now? I am now on Rumble. That is my place now. Reclaim Man says, JF, you did a good job on the Backlash earlier today. Sorry you had to deal with some of the retarded people in the chat. Oh, it's all good. I mean, I don't care, but it's really telling when you see YouTube chats what they have become. Because back in my days, YouTube chats were a place of potential intelligence, but it's like, I don't see intelligent commentary anymore on YouTube chats. It's all a bunch of fucking retards. Meatvic says, I think the Jews are drowning out the media attention of their genocide with race wars. Since when did Elon and Fox News care about race? Yeah, that is a good one. Perhaps that is like, oh, let's throw white people a little bone here so that the dog doesn't come after us. Perhaps that is a good point, yes. End of the line, Joel says, Jeff, we should bear in mind that the police category white has been abused to hide statistics of Hispanic and black criminals. Absolutely, we should bear that in mind because we have seen literally black people being presented as white, dark skin. We have seen the other time the shooter that was clearly not white in New York. A man, possibly white man, was identified as the shooter. So yeah, definitely some of the police, they are incentivized at not having racial disparities in their statistics. So whenever they see someone who could maybe pass as white, they're white. Because we have basically a bunch of leftists who have taken over society across academia, media, institutions, who have decided that the reality of race was too harsh to look at in the face. And this brings us to, you know, the societal hiding of what's happening. You even have it at Wikipedia. The killing of Irina Zarutska may not meet Wikipedia's general notability guideline. General notability? It used to be that if you have an article in the mainstream media about the subject, it is notable. So that was their standard. It was their standard because that's how they were justifying why Papageev didn't have a page about the revolutionary phenotype. It's because, oh, well, you can't have the theory of phenotypic revolution on Wikipedia because it's not notable. There's no journalists that have spoken about it. So what did I do? I got mainstream journalists to get interested in me so I could meet that notability guideline. Now there's journalists talking about me. Now what are you going to do? But now Irina Zarutska definitely meets the notability criteria because there are media stories all across the nation and it's the big memeing thing on X, and there are hundreds of little articles and videos about it. So definitely she meets the notability guideline. But it's a black on white crime, so Wikipedia is trying to shut it down. Blimpy Supervisor says, leftists will desperately grasp at technicalities in an effort to derail this story going viral. Pathetic behavior. Oh yes, and they used to have the DOJ on their side. They had the whole DOJ under Biden. They were going to the locals and saying, please don't release the video showing it's a black man. It could inflame racial tensions. They were hiding the reality from the population. And this is what Hassan Piker, which brings me to your earlier question, this is also what Hassan Piker is not realizing. Why is Nick Fuentes a skilled orator? Why is he gaining popularity by normalizing an effective, dangerous, race-realist framework? It's because you leftists have failed at sticking to reality. It wouldn't have taken much for the left if back in 2016, instead of rejecting Papageev, instead of saying, oh, Papageev is not a human being, we're not going to engage with his points, you know, Kraut and T tried, failed. And so instead of doing this, instead of taking the route of denial, the left could have accepted the reality of race. And they could just have said, you know, we're the side of politics that says, yes, this is true. Yes, black people commit more crimes. Yes, this, yes, that, yes, genetics. Yes, it matters. But we believe in a society where it matters the least possible, and we fight for a world where it's just for everyone. They could have just said this, but they couldn't. They had to smear the truth. This is the problem of the left, and Hassan Piker is realizing the symptoms of the problem, but he's not examining the root problem. The root problem, Hassan, in what you're about to say, is the denial of reality. This is what you guys have been doing. You've been isolating yourself from the alt-right. You've been dehumanizing people who were bringing to you fair points about the truth of race. And now you're stuck in denial. You're stuck in denial land where it's becoming exposed to the rest of the world that we cannot ignore the race reality anymore. It's not viable, because if the judges ignore them and release the blacks in society, then it becomes a reality that is imposed to my face. Then I have to face the fact that taking the bus is threatening my life. Because a whole chain of people along the chain of command, the police, the judges, they all tried to deny reality. The academia. They all tried to deny reality in a way that failed at protecting me. And so now I have to take the matter in my own hands. If I'm, say, a leftist living in North Carolina. And I have to say, hey, you know what? I'm going to be careful when I'm in a bus and there's a black guy behind me, because he could slash my throat.
Ultimately, clips that you see of far-right neo-Nazi style figures like Nick Fuentes are becoming increasingly more dangerous at a time when there is a real need by the left, by liberals, for bold anti-Trump, anti-fascist voices, and skilled orator is capable of taking advantage of that void in discourse by routinely undermining Trump, routinely.
He sees that the critique of Nick Fuentes of Trump makes more sense than what the left is capable of generating. But why is that, Hassan? How is it that Nick Fuentes is outflanking you on criticizing Trump? It's because he has leverage that you don't have. Because you cannot complain against Trump and his H-1B visa policies. You cannot complain against Trump's behavior toward the Jews. Because you've been denying all along the realities of race, and you have to keep being in denial. Now, when most of the problems accumulate in an administration, and most of them have something to do down the line with race, you become an unfit commentator. You are an unfit commentator, and the whole rest of the left is unfit because they have denied the truth. If the left had engaged with the question of Jewry in America, if the left had engaged on questions of blacks in America, you would have much to say. And perhaps you would at times side against Trump and side against Nick Fuentes. But as long as you are in denial, what does it change that Trump has H-1B visas? What does it change that America is brownified? What does it change if 95% of the administration happens to be Jewish? Just happens. It's not that they were selected for being Jews. Let's not be racist here. Let's not do a Holocaust. They just happen to be Jewish. You can't complain against any of it because you're in denial. And you can't do effective, worthy commentary when the story of the week is that blacks kill whites. And after killing them, they say, I got this white girl. Ha ha. What kind of commentary can you do on this other than ignoring it? And so the left has ignored all sorts of problems that were stacking into the big library of problems of America. Let's ignore the Jews. Let's ignore the blacks. Let's ignore the Indian H-1Bs. Let's ignore the Hispanics. And now you're stuck with a news cycle in which there's not a thing happening in this news cycle that isn't related to race. Even the war, even the genocide in Gaza that you would love to criticize, I'm sure, ultimately boils down to global Jewry. Because it wouldn't be happening this way and it wouldn't be so brazen if it wasn't that a bunch of people have taken power in America and in Israel who feel totally emboldened that they will not be criticized because they're right. They want by you. They want by any ally on the left that you have. The only people who have the balls to criticize them are people you yourself have participated in their cancellation. Because in your enterprise of denial of of the reality of race, you had to reject the only people who could be on your side at this point. The Nick Fuentes, the JF. People who, at the beginning, I wouldn't say that I was strongly a right winger. I was talking both to the left and the right wing. I had some messages for the left. They could have improved based on my feedback. They could have said, hey, you know what? JF is warning us that if we reject genetic realities, we're going to pay the price down the line. None of them listened to me. They decided to ignore me, put me aside, act like I'm not a human being. And now you have speakers who are occupying the space of discourse that is relevant, and Hassan Piker is realizing that they are.
Attacking Trump from an understandable perspective, from a real perspective, from a real genuine and valid point of critique to draw the attention and gain popularity and gain charitability.
So he wants a critique of Trump to rise. But there's no angle you got on Trump because you've abandoned every possible leverage you could have that would allow you to be relevant in today's critique.
Amongst a broader audience to then slam in and normalize this somewhat effective, dangerous, race realist.
Somewhat effective, i.e. Nick Fuentes has access to realities in his commentary that you cannot name, that you have decided to put aside, and you've been blinding yourself with blinders on. You've decided to approach reality with blinders. Now, when you're in that blinder mode, it's very hard to be a good commentary person because eventually the whole of reality becomes what's on your side to the right and your side on the left. And that's how Nick Fuentes ends up beating these guys. That's how the truth wins. It's exactly the mechanism that is described by Hassan here. So there is a way for the left to fix this. If they were to say, we're not going to deny reality anymore, we're just going to be a moral political force, we're going to be allied still with the blacks, we're going to be allied with the Jews, but we're going to recognize that there is reality to all this, that genetics matter, that we won't educate blacks away from their criminal lifestyle. We won't fix criminality in Chicago with money to elementary school teachers. That just won't happen. We won't fix the fact that there is an association between the Jews among us in America and in our Democrat Party and the Jews that are committing genocide in Gaza right now. And this is something that we'll take into consideration going forward. As long as you don't face reality, Hassan, this is what awaits. You're going to be outflanked. Outflanked by even a Catholic right-wing boy. Darko Malfoy says, by the way, this Piker character, it's all style, no substance. His audience is ugly leftoid females and gay leftist males who want to suck his dick. Absolutely. Look at how he's searching for his words. This guy doesn't even believe This guy doesn't even believe what he says.
From a real genuine and valid point of critique, to draw the attention and gain popularity and gain charitability amongst a broader audience, to then slam in and normalize this somewhat...
No, this is not the one I was looking at. Look at this.
Void in discourse by routinely undermining Trump, routinely attacking Trump from an understandable perspective, from how figures like Nick Fuentes are becoming increasingly more dangerous at a time when there is a real need by the left, by...
This is where he's looking for his words. This is why he's looking for his words.
Liberals for bold anti-Trump, anti-fascist voices. And a skilled orator is capable of taking advantage of that void in discourse by routinely undermining Trump, routinely attacking Trump from an...
What he wants is a leftist hero to arise, but what would this leftist say? He couldn't say, Hank Daniels, I'm going to ban you because I suspect that you are the guy trying to annoy me. Here, I'm going to ban you just in case. Bye-bye. Because it's like it messes with my cognition when you repeat something and I've deleted it. Because you sound like a troll. And so I'm like, I'm going to delete this. It's going to occupy my cognitions, going to derange my commentary. Now you repeat. Why did you ban? Why did you remove? Now I suspect more and more that you're the troll I wanted to ban in the first place. So now you're banned. When I delete something that you've said on the chat, don't ask yourself if it's fair. Ask yourself, is it possible that I'm disrupting JF with my stupid question? That is what I had to say about Hassan. Les députés français renversent le gouvernement de François Bayrou. So French government reversed by a confidence vote. So we've seen that before. I don't know that it necessarily means that Macron will be gone, but he may be gone. He may be gone very soon. We had Trump push for a 12-year-old boy who fought against the school for pushing a book about changing genders. Let's see how young boys are doing. He's a Catholic 12-year-old, and he was complaining against his school pushing transgenderism.
Hi, I'm Shane Cius. I've been a Christian my whole life, and Jesus means everything to me. When I was in fifth grade, my school forced me to teach my kindergarten buddy about changing his gender using a book called My Shadow is Pink. The book said you can choose your gender based on feelings instead of how God made us. I knew this was not right, but I was afraid of getting in trouble. After my family spoke up, the school treated us badly, and kids started bullying me and my brother because of our faith. And the school did nothing to stop it. It hurt a lot, but I kept trusting God. I believe kids like me should be able to live our faith at school without being forced to go against what we believe. I hope no other family has to go through what mine did. Thank you.
That's another thing that the left has completely abandoned. The idea of diversity of thought. It's like they don't consider that whites are part of diversity. They don't consider that Christianity is part of the diversity that they should protect. To them, diversity is everything else. But these laws were entered in, presumably, with the idea that they would also protect a young kid who happens to disagree with your visions of transgenderism. But elementary school teachers and these women who are in powers and institutions, they decide that there is a form of diversity that is to be rejected. And it's the diversity represented by this young boy. A diversity that says, hey, I disagree with the whole trans philosophy. New guy says, lol, the left hates diversity of thought. Well, exactly, and they shouldn't, because it used to be that the liberals were the ones allowing this whole anarchic thing. It was, they were the diversity. They were fighting for the diversity, but at some point they converted into authoritarians, especially to go after what they perceived was a threat to diversity. But then they ended up turning against the only people that actually can honor some sort of respect of the other, which is white Christians. I mean, because if your whole class is a bunch of blacks, your diversity, first, you don't have diversity. You have homogeneity. Secondly, they're not going to be welcoming of diversity. They're not going to be welcoming of the new white kid on the block. They will disrespect him and harass him. Darko Malfoy says, JF, I truly feel we've turned a corner in the last few weeks. The chiseling away at the edifice of leftism that we've been doing bit by bit since 2015 or so is finally paying off. Piker and his immature leftist arguments will be left behind in the rearview mirror. Absolutely. But then the question comes, what will arise as a leftist force? Will there be a kind of racialist left rising that says, hey, we're the alliance of all races, but there are races? I mean, that could be interesting. It could be a point of leverage that allows us to tweak the Republican Party in the same way. If the left decided that they are outflanking the right on racialism, that could be an interesting scenario, because the reality is blacks know that races exist. this is what's the most contradictory in this whole thing. The only people trying to deny race are kind of white liberal Jews and people like Hassan, who basically are effectively the same, brownoids at the intersection of race. But a true American black knows very well that race exists. In fact, they know it before you do as a white person, because they've been confronted with the reality straight in their face, in their family, forever, since the day they're born. They know that race exists. So there's a path in which the Democrat side decides to say we are the alliance of the races and start being more along the lines of we don't deny race, we're just for fair treatment of everyone. Darko Malfoy says, Piker is scared. When did Papa JF last worry about leftist arguments defeating him? It's been a long time that the left can't win a debate because of precisely this denial in which they're stuck. We'll see what arises, but it could be a kind of Nick Fuentes-like figure that is kind of edgy on race, but that is also capable of turning around and saying, still, it's not most black that are murderers, and so there's plenty of blacks out there with whom we can politically ally. I would love to see this. I will. Rock and DSL says, Alliance of the Weeks. Yeah, but if you have on the other side a Republican Party that tells white males, you're not welcome, we're going to keep doing affirmative action, keep doing H-1Bs, and then you have this other choice that says, you know what, we respect you. We respect what whiteness is. We understand you. That would be an interesting fight. That would be, and it's kind of what Nick Fuentes is setting up. If the other side can have some hero rise, that is of equal caliber. But for now, we don't see it. For now, we don't see it at all. Darko Malfoy, I have read your super chat. I have read it at the beginning of the show. Maybe you had trouble viewing, but just go review the show when it's on. There's a recording of it after all night. I never miss your super chat. I have answered your super chat at the beginning of the show. I talked about it for 5 minutes. So you're going to have a whole 5 minutes of JF ASMR just for you. Breaking, ICE agents are surging into Chicago under Operation Midway Blitz. Let's have a look at this.
The surge has begun. You can see the new ICE vehicles on the streets here in Chicago. We're just outside the Cook County Courthouse, but that surge is part of the ICE-led Operation Midway Blitz that they say is in honor of a beautiful young Chicago woman, Katie Abraham, who was killed by an illegal alien drunk driver back in January of this year. And while we are getting reaction from Illinois Senator Dick Durbin, who says that this blitz won't make Chicagoans safer, let me show you this video. Early this morning, I was out with one of ICE's teams, and we arrested this individual. His name is Juan Gaspar, and he is a 43-year-old illegal alien.
Juan Gaspar. I love that our names are representative of historical places where our ancestors were hanging out. You know, where the name of someone may mean under the bridge, or the name of someone may mean the man among the forest. This guy's last name is Gaspar. He was hanging on at the gas bar. He was hanging on at the gas station.
Alien from Mexico. He has been.
But no, people are saying it's Gaspar. Okay, Gaspar. So, not the gas station guy.
Convicted.
The man who hung out at the gas station.
In 2024, of forcibly sexually assaulting a child under the age of 13. He was taken, as you can see here, without incident. But this is all part of the exact sort of violent criminal illegal alien that the ICE operations hope to bring in, apprehend, and ultimately deport. We were riding a.
How are these guys just hanging under trees? just hanging under a tree. Just raped a 13-year-old. Just lying down. And ICE comes to grab them. I mean, it shows that the under the Biden administration, we had all of these tools. We were just not going after these people. Sorry to Darko Malfoy. He was telling me I sent a second super chat and somehow the entropy screen did not refresh. So very sorry about this. I thought that the entropy screen was constantly refreshing. I may have to review my priors on this. So Draco Malfoy says, okay, JF, I will buy it. So feminism bloomed in America as females were a limited resource in the New World settlement. For instance, the Wild West. The mindset remains. USA are the biggest simps. P.S. I am not going for a USA versus Europe thing here. Feminism rose in America because females were a rare resource. Am I going to give my stamp of approval to this theory? Were they a rare resource? Isn't it the contrary that happened? So feminism rose mostly from the Second World War into, say, today, or into wherever you want to see the border of it, but it extended basically into the civil rights and LGBT rights of today. So the period, the causal period that we're looking at, if we're trying to explain how feminism rose in America, it's from the Second World War into today. I believe that if a causal event must be invoked in the disbalance between the sexes, it would be that the Second World War has killed men. And because it killed men, it killed young men. And for a whole generation, you had more women. And so it is a higher number of women that we had in America. They were more involved in the industry and manufacturing and politics because they were given all these rights as men were dying in the Second World War. So in my view, it is not the rarity of female that has caused feminism. It is the surplus. It is the surplus of unwatched females that didn't have a chaperone male to control them, a husband. Draco Malfoy says, a more rare resource than in a naturally developed 50% male, 50% female place. But your theory is that the gold rush, basically, the conquest of the Wild West, has created female rarity in the West? I would have to check the numbers here, because when was that? What were the years? Was a female shortage truly in operation? And is there really evidence that females use their rarity to push for liberal feminist action and feminist control of society? I would argue that they didn't. I would argue that the best explanation that I can still see, even in light of your hypothesis, the best explanation that I can see is females were given increasing power because they were more numerous and because males had died. They had been selected out while females had stayed, and they were involved more in manufacturing, and therefore they were building property. So females have just been given too much property and too much control over society, almost as an accident of the killing of males. Rudy Lissid says, well, in the 60s was the most recent push for feminism when they burned their bras as symbols of oppression. Yeah, but I tend to think that everything was played out before. I tend to think that the burning of the bras in the 60s was meaningless. I tend to think that once they had a right to vote, it was pretty locked in, and that really the rest was just a liberal psyop. So I don't know. Okay. Is there an argument that the uprisings of the 60s were allowed via female rarity, and that female rarity gave women a leverage in argumentation or a political leverage of some sort that they did use? I'm still very hesitant on siding with the Draco Malfoy hypothesis here. John Drake says, hypercriminals are responsible for much of the crime. I can't think of the numbers off my head, but it's extremely common, significant. Oh yeah, you have the whole curve that says, you know, if you committed one crime, two crimes, three crimes, four crimes, but then if you commit 10, 15, then you're unstoppable. It's like, you will be an antisocial psychopath who ends up killing someone. Trump must pay $83 million to E. Jean Carroll. The court has rejected his immunity claim, so he had made a federal appeal. I don't know what's going to happen with all of this. Is Trump going to be seized for the $83 million? I mean, it's kind of grave. If you can become a rich man in a leftist area and then they come at you with these false allegations, he raped me 20 years ago, and even in this case, the jury was like, we don't believe the rape. We don't believe the rape has exactly happened, but we believe some sort of sexual assault may have happened, and it's such a messy, messy jury decision. If this is allowed without further appeal, Trump argued that presidential immunity should protect him, but the court unanimously rejected it, calling the damages fair and reasonable. The problem is, if we can get at people based on some crazy old woman, then any future president, any man in power, will be faced with the complete loss of his wealth. So I don't know what's going to happen with this. Are they going to take literally like a hotel from Trump? Does Trump still own anything in his name? I don't know. Is he gonna transfer everything to his children so that he's uncollectible? I don't know. Is Mar-a-Lago still in his name? Can he appeal to the Supreme Court, potentially making other arguments? He's probably locked in at this point. You know, to get to the Supreme Court, you have to make the argument before. The argument here should probably be that the jury's decision is inconsistent. It doesn't even make sense. It's like, oh yeah, you claim that you were raped and assaulted 20 years ago. We don't believe you that you were raped, but we're going to believe you that you were assaulted. And then we will believe you that Trump has been defaming you when he said, I didn't rape her. I mean, it is... They are holding Trump to defamation standard for saying, I didn't rape her. For saying, hey, here's this crazy woman. She's crazy. She's going to tell you some crazy stuff. I didn't commit any of this stuff. It is absolutely ridiculous. This should be easy to win on appeal in the Supreme Court. But unfortunately, in the current setting where the justices are trying to detach themselves from Trump, he may not even get it. That's so sad. Rodida Sid says, JF, what do you think would happen if society like Canada, if some society like Canada would transform its immigration to favor women over men? Like if they made quotas be 2/3 women, 1/3 male immigrants. It may sound like a good idea, but the problem is you're importing the genes in a symmetric way down the line, in a way that maybe you save some of the consequences on the first generation, but down the line you're faced with the same problem. These females that you would import in will have male babies. And so it's going to be a problem. Any sort of disbalance is a problem. If you invite too much of the males, you create a situation where they are fighting for the same females as we are. And so it doesn't work. It creates incelism. And the answer to incelism is rape and violence. So you end up with males that cause rape and violence. If you invite more females in, I mean, I could see how that works well. I could see how that disempowers females locally. How we basically disempower politically females by having this import basically of vaginas and saying, look, you are replaceable. So how about you stop voting like a fucking dummy? I can see the temptation, but down the line, I'm afraid you're causing the same problems. You now have more competition in the next generation coming in the form of semi-brownified men and semi-brownified women. They are equally, and this touches so much on what was going to be my last subject, which is these fucking dummies here. These fucking clowns. I'm tired of them. There's one of the big donors of the show who has been pressuring me for years to talk about these guys. I've been pushing it back and back because I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with these people? I mean, they look weird. They look weird and they are weird. So he was like, are they based? Are they good? Is that good what they're talking about? So those are two bizarre people that live in the same house. As Richard Spencer was pointing out last week, it is fucking hilarious that these two geeks are not even streaming from the same room. They're streaming from separate rooms in the same house, despite being in couple. And they are all about some form of eugenic selection of embryos. Like, I think they are advocates, if I understand correctly, they are advocates for, before you breed, you make these 15 embryos, and then you select the ones with the best genes. You do pre-selection of embryos. But you can see in the way these people dress that they are dangerous. They are dangerous for themselves. Because the whole selection of embryo, it all sounds wonderful. Oh, well, if you could have had potential embryos that are better than all the others, why wouldn't you want to invest all of your efforts on the best one? Why not make 50 embryos? Why not make 500? Why not have an embryo race? Why not make them win some competition? Why not kill 500 of your babies to keep the one that survives? Why not organize an Hunger Game of your babies? Okay, this all sounds, in principle, very interesting. Until you realize that the very brain that is making this decision of what is good is the brain that has chosen those glasses. Now, this is where reality hits. Right here. The brain that has made the choice of dressing like this and dressing like this and having those glasses of this exact thickness is not a brain that is fit to make decisions about what a future embryo whether it should succeed in the world or not. They are not capable of integrating all of the biological data and all of the genetic data and say, yes, that is goodness, that is good. No, you don't know. No one knows, because no one knows the future ecology. It boils down to this. So I am against these people, and on top of it, they are cocked. They are cocked on race. So that they made this whole video called Why Cousin and Interracial Marriages Have Better Genetic Outcomes. But they completely ignore the fact that interracial marriages do not have better genetic outcomes. They do not. Because they ignored all of the literature on the difficulties faced by interracial kids. They just mentioned, oh, maybe a little more diabetes. No. There's plenty of literature about interracial kids having terrible mental outcomes. There is plenty of literature about interracial marriages being, for some of the violent crimes that can happen within a couple, being 7x that of the races that they are from. That is, if you are a black person with a black person, you have a certain rate of possibility of killing your wife. If you are a black male with a white female, you have 7x that possibility. 7 times the couple violence probabilities. So they ignore all of this, and instead they joke around interracial marriage and how, oh, it's wonderful, the statistics are good. But the statistic they mention isn't even from interracial marriage. It's from racial distance marriage. But within race, genetic distance. Now, if you do within race genetic distance, of course, diversifying your gene away from your first cousin is a good idea with some other white person.
Super far.
Yeah, like much, much farther. But it depends. It depends again. So we're going to get there. Like basically, though, the human benefits, because I think these are really interesting.
So they're talking as if they know things. That's their thing. It's like, if I ever need thick glasses like this to look intelligent, please get me out of the internet. Please.
Increased height, increased cognitive function. They've been observed in studies of genetically diverse human pairings. The children tend to be taller.
These studies, genetically diverse human pairings. But you have to ask, Were these studies made with significant amounts of interracial children? No. Beep. These studies were made looking solely at genes within race diversity. Within race diversity. Because if you look at actual studies that have looked, what happens if a really, really white person breeds with a really, really black person? Health behavior and risks of adolescents with mixed-race identity. All sorts of measures in which kids will report they have more problems at school, they have more mental health disorders. Here you have a full review of the literature between 2016 and 2022. Mental health outcomes of multiracial individuals. A systematic review between the years 2016-2022. There is plenty of literature out there indicative that the interracial kids have it the worst. They have it worse than the one race they come from, and they have it worse than the other race they come from. Interracial kids are at the bottom in mental health outcomes. They are at the bottom in terms of witnessing family violence at home. They are at the bottoms in terms of being victimized by bullying and behavioral issues at school. Draco Malfoy says, many famous elite whites in history were born of cousin parents. I don't advocate it, but in itself, it isn't the end of the world. Yeah, I never mentioned the cousin parents thing because it's so irrelevant. It's so irrelevant to a discussion. This is what the leftists are trying to do with my whole study on, you know, genetic proximity and whether your child is less related to you than an average European. People come at me very often saying, well, Jeff, what about mixing with your cousins? Is that what you're telling us? We should mix with our cousins? Are you telling me I have to fuck my mother, JF, because I need to be genetically similar? It's like, no, it's not because I tell you that interracial mixing has negative consequences that I'm telling you to fuck your mother. No. These people have a difficulty of understanding the middle. It's like, if I tell you I want this cake baked, am I telling you that I can burn this cake with 6 million degree heat? No. I'm telling you, bake this cake at average heat. Don't burn it. It's not going to get better as you burn it more. I'm saying there is a certain level of heat that you need to apply to this cake. Reasonable, not too high, not too low. But when you talk about race, they go absolutely insane. They go irrational. And suddenly, just because I'm talking about the dangers of interracial mixing, I am sending them to fuck their mother. John Drake says, more trolls just trying to muddy the water. And it's what's been happening with the YouTube chat. The YouTube chat is filled with these people who intentionally misunderstand. As a last news item, I've been vindicated this morning by David Pfeiffer. Wow, David Pfeiffer, what an honor to be reviewed mathematically by David Pfeiffer. Because David Pfeiffer is the guy behind a lot of the academic work that has served in 4chan graphics of all kind and Excel sheets showing the number of SNPs difference between different races. So a lot of the memes that you've come to know about race and the reality of race ultimately come from the work of David Pfeiffer, because David Pfeiffer is the one academic, the only one academic with the courage of asking the question, hey, we have the GWAS for intelligence. So we have all of these letters of DNA that we know. This makes you more intelligent. This makes you less intelligent. This makes you a little more intelligent. This makes you a little less intelligent. And he's the only one with the balls to ever say, how about we check the genes of Africa and see if there's some fitting there? Maybe it's going to be like this. Or maybe it's going to be like this. And to say, Can we extrapolate from what we know now about the genome, the correlations between genes and intelligence, can we extrapolate to differences between countries and between races? Can we say that ultimately the difference of intelligence between the races is due to this gene and this gene and this gene and this gene and this gene? So a lot of the memes around racial differences in intelligence used ultimately stem from the work of this guy. Now, this guy ended up falling onto my commentary and onto my whole debate that I started, where people started claiming that my claim that your interracial child is less genetically similar to you than a random European on the street, whether it's true or not. And there are so many leftists who say, that's not how genetics work, JF, but it turns out it is. And David Pfeiffer now has confirmed that depending on how you measure FST, depending on what's your interpretation of genetic diversity within and outside a race, he confirms that there are certain mixings that lead you to have a child that is less related to you, less similar to you genetically than a European on the street. Now, he has some commentary. So therefore, he confirms my main view. Now, he has some commentary that my approach to quantifying genetics is unorthodox. And I have answered to that. I have answered to that in this paragraph here. The article claims that there is a slight incongruity in my approach, in that given my way of quantifying genetic similarity, the answer may not be the same for the African side than it is for the European side. To that, my answer is absolutely. When we use terms like African and European, we are referring to ensemble of genes with internal variants. Think in the extreme if we had been comparing Africans to North Spaniards. There is a point at which one group is so stable in terms of internal variants that you may increase your genetic similarity to your offspring by breeding with this group from the outside, while someone on the inside of this group would systematically be reducing their genetic relatedness to their offspring by choosing outside of their group. In other words, the same... New Guy Prime says, Jeff, unorthodox. No! After being called a rapist, a wife murderer, an abuser of mentally ill children, I learned that JF is unorthodox. That was the line crossed. So I want to show what's happening here. A lot of people mistake these scenarios here. So if you are a European, you are breeding within a certain pool that is European, and that you are on average linked to the people around you that you would call European. But that grouping, that European grouping, let's put quotation mark around it, because the reality is there are North Africans here, there are brown Indians, Middle Eastern Jews, Druze Christians. Everything is all soft. The circle that you end up defining as European will end up determining a lot of the reality of whether you perceive that you are breeding within your group or outside of your group. For example, if I was to say, oh, well, let's take the Caucasian definition of European and say, basically, this is what I feel is my in-group. Now I got North Africans, I got brown Arabs, I got brown Indians. Now I got everything from the Caucasus to North Africa to Europe, up to Sweden. So now if I breed within this definition, I breed within high genetic diversity. Now, this is the problem with the African case that people don't understand. When I say the child Let's draw a child here. The child that emerges from the union between a African parent and a European parent is not so similar to the European genes. I'm talking about this restricted circle here. The only way my claim is valid is in comparison with another child. A child that would have been born from a European parent from within that circle with another European parent from within that circle. And I'm saying there is a massive difference here. And in fact, I'm saying the difference is so big that difference is bigger than the difference between two Europeans. Now that statement, this right here, will be highly influenced about how you define your vision of yourself, which is, am I a European in that sense? Or am I a European in that sense? Because if you're a European in that sense, genetic diversity within your defined group is extremely high. And so you may have the impression that you are very much related to your child because you've taken a large cloud. But this is what we inevitably do when we look at the side of Africa. And this is to address David Pfeiffer's claim of unorthodoxy. My method is meant to guide an individual. My method is not a scientific method for population characterization. My method is meant an individual looking at their own child. How does that child relate to what's around them, to the small cloud that they are part of and the bigger cloud of all of humanity? That is why my method is unorthodox. It's not because it's false, and it's not because it's inaccurate. It's because it aims at answering the question for an individual. For an individual, the European child is distant from them, from a European-centric perspective. Now, what David Pfeiffer has shown is that, A, the same claim cannot be made with the African parent. Actually, the African parent has gained in similarity by choosing a European parent. And that might seem asymmetric. It might seem like, hey, whatever is true, if my statement was true about the European, it should also be true about the African parents. But this is the failure to understand the reality of the African genes. The reality of the African genes is that they are stuck in a sea of diversity. This has been known before I ever talked about these subjects. The African genes are highly, highly variable. So when the African breeds within their group, they are breeding into something that is so much wild that you might as well take the graph of the European and compress it. That's the reality. The African breeding with another black person is breeding within a tormented storm of variability of genes. This has been documented. This is not under any form of contest. It is the truth. So the reality is like this. Let's draw here a white square for the background. The reality is more like this. So when the African finds a European female to breed with, they have actually gained in genetic stability, because by doing this act of breeding, they are avoiding the breeding within. And within is much more variable than within the European population. This is why you get a different response if you ask the question from a European perspective versus an African perspective. And I will say to David Pfeiffer and to all of the others who advocate for the use of the academic type of FST calculation, your tools are unfit to answer those questions. Your tools are unfit because they assume symmetry. Your tools are unfit because they cannot guide the individual. They are, from your little scientific perspective, above all of it. And you're looking above it and you're saying, oh, well, it's the same. It should be the same one way or the other. No, it doesn't have to be the same, because people fundamentally come from different subpopulations. And these subpopulations, they have a meaning to the individual making a decision. See, breeding with a brown Arab may be an act of interracial mixing for a white person. It may be an act of interracial mixing for a black African-American, but it may not be an act of interracial mixing for someone who would be brown because they have a white parent and a black parent. What you consider to be an act of interracial mixing is variable according to how big you see the cloud around you. If you are Swedish with blonde eye, blue eye, it may be the case that you look at someone like me and you don't feel that I'm European. You may not feel that I'm completely European to you, or you may have this feeling that I'm somehow your outgroup. But I may look at things from the perspective of a French, Spaniard type of region of Western Europe, and I may feel that a white person in Eastern Europe is not as white as I am. So how you define the group will determine the answer to the question, is my child as related to me as a stranger in that group? Why? Because the stranger in that group is a very small variable circle for the European, and it's a very big variation circle for the African. In short, as a conclusion for tonight, there are 17 different ways to be black. There's only one way to be white. Oh, before we leave, Silver Spider has just sent a super chat. He says, hey, JF, did you think the people who wanted evolution taught in schools thought that it would bring racial awareness if they intended liberalism? That was quite a gamble, since they need so much brainwashing. It's a good question whether the theory of evolution was unleashed accidentally. Because, well, when you look at the stemming of evolution, I don't think that Charles Darwin intended anything educationally with it. I think he was just looking for the truth. And I think that some of the early evolutionary theorists, they were all looking for the truth. But then you reach a Richard Dawkins, and this is where in the 80s, the rising popularity of Richard Dawkins and his book, The Selfish Gene, now you have explicitly Dawkins saying, we're going to have to talk about evolution, but talk about it as something that happens everywhere but in humans. And even if it happens in humans also, I would like to have a society where it doesn't happen. So this whole leftist denial of evolution, I think starts around Dawkins or a little before. I don't know much attempts at denial. When I read old stuff from the 40s, 1940s, I don't see much attempts at, oh, we're going to hide some stuff. We're going to hide some parts of evolution because it's too rough for the people. It's really the liberal boomers of the Dawkins generation that have invented self-deception around evolution. Because before that, in fact, the whole science was headed toward a big science of race. And you had, you know, the 40s and Mein Kampf. And you look at these books, there is not a trace of trying not to talk about it. It is really the boomer that have given us the gift of self-deception. And then it was recuperated since then. So I would say we're still in the nightmare started by Richard Dawkins, which I'm trying to fix.